This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to everyone. Welcome to Sports Saturday. Hard to believe that Christmas is 4 days away. We have, of course, all sorts of holiday basketball tournaments starting on Thursday. For the most part, every team in the area is involved in some sort of tournament one way or another. A lot going on today. Very busy day for the IHSA across the state. You've got in girls basketball, of course, we'll have Hillsboro at Litchfield. That broadcast coming up about 2 o'clock this afternoon. You've got the Civic Memorial Shootout going on. Southwestern will face Quincy Notre Dame. That'll be a noon tip at the CM Shootout. They've got games all day long. In boys basketball, you've got the Comet Quad going on in Greenville. This is a neat event. So you got Greenville, Staunton, Monticello, and Altamont. They'll play two games today. Greenville faces Altamont at noon, Staunton and Monticello at 1:30. Then the Bulldogs face Altamont at 5. The Comets take on the Sages of Monticello at 6:30. So that's the second year the Greenvilles had this Comet Quad. And then the Central A&M Shootout is going on today as well. Vandalia will take on Pleasant Plains at 3. Pena faces Warrensburg-Latham at 4:30. The games begin at noon today at Central A&M High School. You've also got the Prep Showcase going on at the Jacksonville Bowl. South County facing North Green at noon. Auburn plays Beardstown at 1:30. It'll be Pawnee and Edinburgh at 3. New Berlin faces West Central at 4:30. Athens will take on Jacksonville at 6. St. Elmo Holiday Tournament Championship Day. Championship game at 7:30. St. Elmo Brownstown against South Central. Patoka against Cumberland at 6 o'clock for third place. At 4:30, the fifth place game has Mulberry Grove against Ramsey. And the seventh place game at 3 will have Cowden-Herrick Beecher City against Windsor Stu Strauss. We will have coverage from the Carletonville Holiday Tournament beginning on Thursday. We will have 6 and 7:30 broadcasts for you, the 26th, 27th, and 28th. Then the girls' championship and boys' championships for you on Monday the 30th beginning at 6 o'clock. Before we go too much farther, we want to look back to a week ago. The second annual T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer was held at Lincolnwood High School last Saturday. Just want to thank all of the teams and coaches for their participation. Thanks to everyone for their cooperation, for getting all the logistics lined out. So Josh Stone, Matt Milberg at Lincolnwood, we thank them very much for all the work they put in to the shootout. Darren Deneve with Carletonville, thanks to him for all his efforts on the second annual T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. To all the volunteers at the Montgomery County Cancer Association, thank you very much. Without your dedication to the event, we just would not be able to pull it off. So thank you very much to the MCCA. All the money we raise goes right to the Montgomery County Cancer Association. So, and there's no way I think can remember everyone. Just, it takes so many people to put on something like this. All the people at the radio station, David, everybody, just thank you very much for all the time and effort put in. And I think it was a success. You know, when you put on an event like this, you never know for sure what the outcome will be. But the focus of this shootout is obviously to raise money for cancer and just to make sure that we do put the spotlight on the kids, because that was always very important to Terry about the kids. And that is and will continue to be our focus here at the radio station. But again, just thank you to everyone who came out and supported the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. And if you won a raffle item, you should have already been contacted. So if you're thinking, hey, they haven't gotten a hold of me, it's because you didn't win anything. Sorry to say.
Most people, most of those items were picked up the night of.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
Which was fine by me, less for me to pack into my car.
Oh, yeah. But I think there are only a few that are still left.
Yeah, we have a few items here at the station, but those people have been contacted, and then they'll come out and get their stuff whenever they see fit.
That's right.
And David, you know, thank you to you. You put in a lot of time and effort on that as well. And, you know, it's one of those days, it's a long day, but man, it is such a satisfying day whenever that event gets over and you just kind of sit back and think about it. It's just really good and a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a fun day. It's great to be around high school basketball for an entire day from early morning to the late night. So, yeah, if anyone else is interested in volunteering, we'll be happy to put them to work next year.
That's right. And we'll be at Hillsboro next year for the third annual T-Tote Shootout versus cancer. And still, obviously, a lot of things to still be ironed out there. But I do know that the Hillsboro-Litchfield girls will be playing next year in the shootout.
Against each other?
Against each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you better believe
that.
It. And then, of course, we know we'll have Litchfield and Lincolnwood playing. That's going to be kind of a traditional annual matchup between those two Montgomery County schools. And then Joe Vanza told me last night Hillsboro will be playing Athens.
Oh, really?
Next year in the shootout. Yeah.
Very nice.
So, and then, obviously, more to come. Looking, I think Southwestern girls are playing Williamsville, I think,
ooh,
off the top of my head. So
that's pretty exciting.
Should be fun. And, again, the games, I mean, you want to have good games for an event like this, obviously. But the most important thing is the money raised. And that's what we're trying to do here, is raise money for the Montgomery County Cancer Association. So that's the goal, and we look forward to seeing you out there for the third annual T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer next year.
I got to tell you, that Pleasant Plains Rochester game was very entertaining. Not getting to see those two teams on a regular basis and getting to watch them for the first time that night. I told you this that night, you know, off the air. Those two girls teams are a lot faster than a lot of boys teams I've seen.
The Plains team, I mean, Rochester, you know, being a 3A school, J.R. Bedurs has really built a quality program there. This Plains team, though, basically the same team, minus a few pieces, but a lot of the key cogs back from that team a year ago. Of course, it lost that triple overtime game to Hillsboro in the sectional. So Plains just kind of seems like they're on a mission this year.
What really did Rochester in was not being able to score in the first quarter.
That hurt.
It did.
That hurt.
Did.
That's not real helpful.
No.
But they battled
almost
back.
Had a bucket at the end of the first quarter.
Almost. Yeah, that was a heck of a ball game. And the last game between Hillsboro and New Berlin turned out to be a heck of a ball game as well. Then, of course, New Berlin last night, what a game against North Mac. They beat them in overtime on a free throw with no time left, but they only got to overtime because the Pretzels hit like a three-quarters court shot to force the OT.
Hmm.
And I don't have any numbers to back this up, David, but I would venture to guess that when you hit that type of shot to force overtime, you're winning overtime 90 times out of 100.
Yeah. Actually, a few years ago, I did a game between North Mac and Litchfield at Litchfield. Ironically enough, they had moved the game time up a little bit and I think canceled the JV because there was a threat of inclement weather coming. And that game ended up going into double overtime. And at the end of the first overtime, North Mac hit a three from not from half court, but just not very far in front of it to force double overtime, and they dominated the second overtime after that. So you are right. I think, you know, when you make a shot like that heading into an overtime period, the momentum is safely on your side.
Same goes like if you hit a big shot at the end of a half. Not so much at the end of a quarter, but like at the end of the first half, big shot. There's a lot of momentum to be had there at the end of a half, or if you make a big shot at the end of regulation to force in overtime. So big day of hoops. No matter where you're at listening to us right now, there's going to be some sort of quality basketball within a very short drive of where you're at. So get out and enjoy that today on this last Saturday before Christmas. Before we get too much further in here, we're going to be talking with Quinn Steiner coming up about 9:15 about the Elks Hoop Shoe. That's a free throw contest that will take place in April. Carlinville will have the registration coming up next Saturday. We'll talk to Quinn Steiner about that. Going to talk to Joe Allstott coming up at 9:30. Of course, Joe's the AD at Greenville High School, but he's also involved with the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, which is on the way January 19th and 20th. They got Buck Showalter coming in this year. They continue.
Heard of him.
Heard of him. He was on Seinfeld.
Yeah, he was.
But I joked with Joe last night. I said, you just continue to outdo yourself. You had Mike Schilt last year. You get Buck Showalter this year. I said, I don't know who you'll get next year. I said, but I bet it'll be somebody big.
Tony La Russa.
Yeah. They've already had him.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. He's been there.
I'm sure he has because he was a Cardinals manager.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, he was there a number of years ago. Yeah.
Joe Torre.
Wouldn't be bad.
He's got ties to the local area, St. Louis area.
They'll get somebody. You leave the guest booking to Joe.
Okay.
He'll take care of it, David. He'll get her lined out. So we look forward to having that conversation coming up about 9:30.
Trout.
Yes.
Don't know that it works because it's a coach's clinic and he hasn't tried his hand at coaching yet. But
not yet. He's got a little playing time left.
Just a little bit. A
little bit. And then we're also going to catch up with Carlinville boys basketball coach David Suits about 9:45 today here on Sports Saturday. The big news of the week as far as the IHSA was concerned, of course, was the football districts being rescinded. Never even got into effect. It was 1 year ago. with the proposal passed to put districts into play. There was a lot of upset people. And so back on the ballot, it went 1 year later, and they are rescinded. So 374 yes votes to rescind the districts, 241 no votes, 87 no opinions. Last year, when the districts narrowly passed, there were 324 yes votes to 307 no votes with 69 no opinions. So 50 more yes votes this time around to get rid of the districts. And if you're thinking, well, you know, the probably just voter turnout was the difference. Not at all. Basically the same the last 2 years. You had 85.8% of member schools voting last year on the proposal. That was 702 out of 818. The exact same number of schools voted this year. There's just six fewer member schools. So it wound up 86.5% of the schools this year, 702 out of 812.
And I still don't see how this how this addresses the issue they're trying to...
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah, the constant conference realignment. It does not address that at all.
It's like it never happened.
Right.
The district's never happened. The football system is just going to stay as it's been.
It doesn't fix anything.
No, it doesn't fix anything. But thankfully, that junk proposal that they had trying to replace the districts, that got nowhere. That didn't even get to the final stages. So that...
I have to admit, it drives me crazy when the people, I've heard a lot of people this week complain about the schools, member schools who got to vote, who don't have football programs. And I have to tell you, it drives me crazy when people complain about that, because they should be voting for that, because their sports are getting affected. I mean, the reason the conference realignments are hurting those schools more than anyone else, because their sports, the conferences are being realigned for the other sports. And therefore, they're having to travel, and they're suffering because of this. So, yeah, they should be getting a vote. And it just drives me crazy that people are so short-sighted and nearsighted, cannot see that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Just because a member school doesn't have football, the decisions made because of football are affecting every other sport. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I like the fact that just the system is the same. Like, the concept, the theory of the districts, I was intrigued by it. I would have liked to have seen it. But the fact that the districts are out and we're just sticking with the system we have, that's fine by me. If they would have gone to that trash system where two-win teams are making the playoffs, I would have lost my mind and gotten on a mountaintop and grabbed a soapbox.
I don't know that would have lasted long.
Kept going. But with this, I don't really care. The districts are out. Okay.
I still
no skin
like
off my back. But the problem does still remain, like David was saying. So, like, you know, for the South Central Conference, we're fine. Sangamon Conference is fine. Central State 8 is fine. But you get into those conferences over, you know, I know the western part of the state, West Hancock was one of the schools. It's a three-team league.
I'm not sure the Sangamon is fine. I mean, because you've got Pittsfield and Moroa Forsyth as two of those schools, and here they are. I mean, Moroa Forsyth, I guess, is closer than Pittsfield.
And Pittsfield's only in it for football.
Right. Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. Illini Central's in for basketball.
Well, the Prairie State could be... One. I mean, look at how much that conference has changed over the last decade.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's been affected by the conference jumping. But the issue is more, to me, the small conferences. You know, the three-team leagues where you have to go out of state to get multiple opponents. That to me, is the issue. That's what the districts were really trying to solve. And we'll see if they come up with some type of different solution. To me, we've got to get to a break here. But an easy solution for me is you just simply say, to the conferences, it would be up to each individual conference. If you are in our league, you are in our league for a fixed number of years.
Yeah.
You sign a contract and you are in, whether it's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever. Each conference can make up their own number, but you're in for this amount of time.
Yeah.
That would help fix it a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see if anything ever happens.
We'll see.
But districts, gone.
For now.
For now. That's right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're hopefully going to catch up with Quinn Steiner here in just a moment, talk about the Elks hoop shoot. Of course, also, they got the turf going in at the Carlin DeVille football field. We'll see what Coach Steiner knows about that. We got Joe Allstott coming up at 9:30 to talk about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, and Carlin DeVille boys basketball coach David Suits set to join us in about half an hour as Sports Saturday rolls on here on WSMI.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. We've got girls high school basketball for you this afternoon. Hillsboro at Litchfield, probably about 2 o'clock with the live coverage on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Bragging Rights on the line today in St. Louis, Illinois, and Mizzou. The 39th annual Bragging Rights game, 11 o'clock pregame this morning on WAOX 105.3. The Ox, as they will tip it off at high noon. Illinois 25-13 against Mizzou all-time in St. Louis. They lead the all-time series 32-17. Mizzou did win last year 79-63. Couple of more notes here about those IHSA proposals. Couple that passed that will affect folks. The spring baseball and softball season will now start a week later. This is basically just due to weather with so much uncertainty in the early part of the year. If you remember last year, there was a good number of teams that were never outside and with a practice before they played their first game. So the hope is you push the start of the season back a week and it'll alleviate some of those problems. Now, that means also the season will end a week later than it currently does. In the fall baseball season, that will start a week sooner now. So fall baseball starting a week sooner coming up. And the only proposal that did not pass would have reduced the number of summer contact days from 25 to 20. That proposal did not pass. There was 11 proposals that got through the committee and went to the full member vote. And that was the only one that did not pass is, you know, if you're a coach, I mean, the days are precious in the summertime anyway. And you take off basically a week of contact in the summer, and that becomes pretty substantial when you're trying to get certain things done over the summertime.
Can I propose a radical change that will never happen?
Sure.
But one that Terry actually considered, or okay, not considered, but one that he was a proponent of. Flip-flop baseball and football in the seasons.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that before. And yeah,
it'll never happen.
It will never happen. I mean, there's zero, less than zero, or greater than zero. Whatever is more than zero.
I think zero kind of speaks for itself.
Does zero speak for itself? Yes. Okay. 0.00% chance that that will ever happen. But yeah, if you're just thinking from a weather standpoint.
Yeah. And everybody, injury logistics too, because I mean, football, you're more likely to injure yourself, I guess. And if it's coming at the end of the school year.
Well, it depends what side of the spectrum you're looking at. You're exactly right. Like, if a kid now gets hurt in football, he could be hurt
for the entire
school year.
Yeah.
Every coach would like to have their season at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Because that means with your summer work, I was talking about with the summer contact days, that means with the summer work, you're coming right out of summer into your sports. You know, mm-hmm. So that gives volleyball an advantage there. It gives football an advantage. And the other side of that coin would be for football, it is good because it's such a physically demanding game, mm-hmm. for them to be able to go right from summer football into fall football. So their bodies are conditioned for football. Whereas if football was in the spring coming off basketball, they might not have the physicality built up for football in play. But from a pure baseball and softball perspective, when you think about the weather that we have in the spring, that's not canceling a football game.
No. No, it's not.
It's not. You know, like the weather in the fall, much more conducive for baseball and softball.
It seems like we have less rainy days in the fall, too.
So depends.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Depends. But
fewer rainy days, I should say.
It'll never happen.
No, it won't.
It'll never, ever happen. It'd be interesting, but we're all creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like football in the fall just because it's a fun way to start the year. And then you've got just that great date of Thanksgiving set in for the championship game. So we work back from that.
Well, the sheer scale of what you're messing with would be the problem. I mean, because you're not just talking about it at a local level or anything. I mean, you're messing with at a state level, at a national level.
Oh, it would. So it would throw a big wrench into the plans.
Yeah, but it's also the shortest season in high school sports, isn't it? High school football?
Yeah, 9 weeks.
Yeah, so, I mean, theoretically, you could fit that in before graduation and everything in the spring.
Well, there's probably, the golf season's not super long, but, you know, when you're only playing 9 weeks, 9 games.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
Even if you went into the postseason for football, like if you went to the state, I wonder what your start date would be when you would start week one and how long a team making a championship run, how deep they would actually go if it were held in the spring. I'm curious now.
Don't waste too much brain power on it, David. It ain't happening.
I know.
It ain't happening. But the districts aren't happening either.
No, for now.
They're out.
For now.
I don't think they're coming back.
I don't know. Maybe not how they were constructed, but I think something might be done. There's enough conversation where something wants to get done that I think something might get done.
The idea of conferences not existing, that really rubbed people the wrong way, especially people in schools from the traditional conferences. Like, I know in the South Central Conference, there was no appetite for it. Everybody voted against it last year. Nobody in the South Central wanted it. The Sangamo was kind of split a year ago. You know, a lot of the CS8 was against it. It just depends on your league and, you know, where you're at in the state. Like, you know, geography was a big issue after the districts got announced and people started kind of looking at it and like, oh boy, we're going to be really traveling a long way. But there's schools now that have that situation, you know, and for some would say, don't matter to me. My league's good. My league's solid. Like, yeah, that's true. But when you're part of a statewide organization, you know, you have to look at the entire scope of the project. And right now there are teams that are in a very tough spot in terms of trying to find nine games.
Yeah.
And I know this past fall was down in Mount Carmel for the Carmelville playoff game. And was talking to some folks from Mount Carmel down there. They had been in an Indiana conference, got out of that conference because of the districting.
Oh, really?
So they're independent right now.
Okay.
And I don't suspect, I mean, they're so good, I would imagine that conference in Indiana will welcome
take
them back with open arms. But, you know, that's something right there. Mount Carmel, okay, well, district's coming. We got to make the adjustment. They make the adjustment. Ah, the districts aren't coming now. Sorry. But that, you know, that's just one little case. And, you know, just depending on the pockets, and it's more the borders, you know, the very western part of the state, the very eastern part of the state. That's where they seem to be having trouble finding enough opponents year in, year out to fill out their schedule. So something's got to change. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Let me ask you on a semi-unrelated note. There was also a proposal proposed by Carlinville about separating, how do I
private and public.
Private and public.
Yeah, that didn't get through the legislative committee.
Okay.
That never got to a full member vote, and it never will.
Probably not.
You know, it could be a good idea.
Yeah.
And have merit to it, but also never going to happen.
Probably not.
Never going to happen. Going to catch up with Joe Allstott here in just a moment on Sports Saturday. Talk about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, which is January 19th and 20th. And this is one of the premier, if not the premier, baseball clinic. Certainly in Illinois, you can go to the Midwest. I mean, it's up there nationally. Midwest, it's high on the list. Certainly in the state, it is number one. You get coaches from all over the country coming in to take in this event. They, year in, year out, just roll out impressive speaking lineups. I know, I think it was Kai Correa was speaking there last year. He just got hired on to a big league staff. So when you go to this I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic in Greenville, January 19th and 20th, you are going to be treated to just a spectacular wealth of knowledge. And we're very happy to be joined right now by Greenville Athletic Director Joe Allstott. Joe also, of course, instrumental in the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being here. And I know you're getting ready to coach a big ball game today, aren't you?
That is true. I've got a fourth grade son playing in the tournament, and then I'm heading back to Greenville to watch our Comet Quad supervise the varsity game. So I'll be in the gym all day today.
That's good. No better place to be the weekend before Christmas than in a gym. And Joe, I want to talk to you about that Comet Quad. Second year you've done this. This is a fantastic event, a great idea. Just kind of talk about the origins of it.
Well, we just wanted to try a shootout, but not a typical shootout. Mm-hmm. Try to find some teams that we don't normally play, like Altamont and Monticello. and see if they would come and play teams they don't normally play, which would be us and this year Staunton. So each team will play twice. We'll play an afternoon session and an evening session, and we feed the teams in between and try to take care of them and give them pizzas after the game. So they should eat heartily in our school today, and hopefully get some good basketball action too.
Going home full. And Joe, I know for ADs around the area, it's always a challenge to try to find games against non-common opponents, teams you don't normally play. And I feel like you do as good a job of anybody in the area of really branching outside and finding some of those teams. How much more work is that?
Well, you have to be creative, and it certainly is work. But, you know, I've been doing this 13 years as an athletic director, so you meet people, you network, you get to know other ADs around the state and or just around our area. So when the opportunities present itself, you try to invite them to something you're trying to do. For example, we have a track invitational early April every year on a Saturday that has, I think, now 19 boys teams and 19 girls teams, so 38 teams come, and we get them from as far away as Stanford Olympia up near Bloomington. So, and they've been coming for several years now. So we try to branch and go every direction around us. We think we're in a good location where we can pull from Springfield, we can pull from the Metro East, we can pull from Southern Illinois, and then over in Effingham. So we try to take advantage of that and see some different teams.
So I guess, you know, your AD skills come in very handy when you get working on this I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, because there's a lot of similarities in what you have to do.
Well, you certainly have to know how to market. I've learned a lot about marketing in the last 17 years that just get on-the-job training and try to get better and get the word out. That's kind of your biggest challenge, is to make people aware, right? So
yeah.
You just acquire emails, you acquire names and numbers and addresses, our Greenville City of our City of Greenville Tourism has really helped me in acquiring more emails and addresses by helping us as a sponsorship, because we're bringing people into Greenville and they're staying in hotels and eating restaurants, and they've been really influential and essential in trying to upgrade my list there.
The I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, January 19th and 20th in Greenville, talking with Greenville Athletic Director Joe Allstott here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And Joe, Buck Showalter is coming in, and obviously you got to be under a rock to not know who Buck Showalter is. Talk a little bit about the process. I know you had Mike Schilt last year. You've had Tony La Russa there in the past. When you get these big names there, the process, you're not dealing directly with them, I wouldn't think. You're dealing with their agents and their people.
It's funny, Tim, because every speaker we bring in, there's only been one speaker that I have not dealt directly with them. So Buck Showalter, here's a good story for you and your listeners, but I wrote him a letter. He lives in Dallas, and I wrote him a letter on a Wednesday, okay? On Friday afternoon, my phone was ringing. He called me back 2 days later.
Wow.
Just me and him on the phone. We talked for 10 and 15 minutes. And very ironic, he says, because our clinic's on Sunday, Monday, I wanted him to speak on Sunday, and he asked me, he said, how close are you to the University of Illinois? I'm going to be speaking there on Saturday at their baseball banquet. How close are you to Illinois? And I thought, holy smokes. I said, we're as close as you want us to be. So it's going to work out. I had no idea, but it's going to work out perfect. He'll speak at the University of Illinois baseball banquet on Saturday. He said, I can stay another day and speak at your clinic on Sunday. And just what a great guy. You know, I told him that he asked me about our clinic and where we have it at. I said, oh, we have it at our high school. We have a smaller high school. And he said, how many students do you have there? I said, oh, about 500 or so. And he said, that's not small. He said, my graduating class had 30 in it. He goes, you didn't wait around for a prom date. You had to get going. I said, okay. So we had a great conversation. Just a great guy and obviously a great baseball man. And we're really excited to bring him in.
And I know last year, I think it was last year when Kai Correa spoke there. It might have been the year before. I get it confused.
Last year.
It was last year. And now he's on a big league staff. So, I mean, things like that helps the clinic.
Oh, certainly. I haven't counted how many of our past speakers have been in a big league dugout, but that number, it keeps growing. Kai Correa was one of the best speakers we have ever had. I think several of your listeners that were at our clinic would tell you that. I know that I've had more compliments about him than probably any other speaker we've had. He is so good. But you're right. He just got on the big league staff with the Giants, and I knew it wouldn't take him long after hearing him. He's such a good communicator, and he had such good infield defensive stuff that he shared with us, and one of the best we've had, no doubt.
And every speaker is different based on kind of what they want to get across. But, like, a majority of the speakers, is it strategy? Is it fundamentals? What are kind of some of the core messages that people get out of the clinic?
Sure. So we usually get four or five different speakers, and we try to make sure we have a pitching guy, make sure we have a hitting guy, make sure we have a defensive guy of some sort. Some years it's catching. Some years it's infield. You know, we try to – and there could be a philosophy or strategy or culture, you know, all kinds of things like that. So it's really a variety of it all, Tim, to be honest with you. Some guys focus more on the drill aspect, or some guys focus more on philosophy and here's why we do what we do and what we believe in and things like that. And the main thing with the clinic is you want to challenge coaches to think, right? You want to give them something to think about and to maybe they'll implement that in their program. Maybe they won't. But, you know, if you can come to our clinic and pick up a couple things to take home to your maybe your own son or daughter, maybe you coach a team. Maybe it's a 10-year-old team. Maybe it's a college team. I don't know. But to get something to take home and to improve your players is really the ideal part of the clinic.
And I know that, like, I think last year it was, like, what, 18 different states were represented or something like that?
10 states. That was the most we've ever had. And coaches from 10 states that came last year. Really amazing.
That is amazing. It's a testament to the job that you guys have done with this clinic over the years. And we talked about Buck Showalter going to be there, but you've got a lot more going on than just Mr. Showalter.
We do. We've got a really good speaker lineup again. And you know, everybody's going to talk about Showalter and maybe come because of him, but they're going to leave and remember Brent Strom, who's the Astros pitching coach. And obviously he's a big name in the baseball world, but I've heard him speak before. He is phenomenal. He was voted the Major League Baseball Coach of the Year 2018, and his pitchers just rave about him. And he is a very smart man. And this guy is unbelievable. Just the thought he's putting into his presentations. I got an email from him with a PowerPoint for his presentation. He said, "Just finish this up." This is in October, like 2 hours before his playoff game. He's emailing me his. I'm like, "Brent, you got other things to worry about. This is until January, man, you know." But he's tremendous. He's tremendous. We tried to get him a couple times in the past, and finally able to work out this year. So we're excited to have him. We've also got Tanner Swanson, who was just hired as catching coach for the New York Yankees. He'll be traveling, and he's a big league coach of the Yankees now. And that's a guy that just 3 or 4 years ago was an assistant coach at the University of Washington. So he has really ascended and is excellent. We've got our hitting guy is the assistant coach, the associate head coach at TCU, which is one of the top college programs in the country. His name is Bill Mozzello, and he'll speak twice on Monday on a hitting topic, on two different hitting topics. So he is excellent as well. Who am I missing out, Tim? I'm trying to think here.
Boy, I don't know. You rattled off a pretty good list right there. Is there more? If that's all there is, that's a fantastic clinic. If you've got some more lined up, folks are really going to have a good time. And there's door prizes too, right, Joe?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Door prizes?
Oh, yeah. We've got, you know, every year I try to get stuff donated from companies around the country. And we'll give a $250 door prize. The Cardinals give out all kinds of door prizes, including 4 tickets and 4 batting practice passes. That's one of the grand prizes. And we've got Funko bats and books and videos. And this year I got a company that sent us about 5 different wallets that are made out of baseball gloves, kind of a cool thing. Huh. But we'll have over 100 door prizes typically every year.
And, Joe, I know that the Cardinals, they help you out with this, and that goes a long way.
Yeah, so several years ago, I proposed something to the marketing director of the Cardinals, just thinking, "I'm going to take a shot. All they can do is tell me no."
Right.
And they ended up telling me yes. And it's really changed our clinic as far as the types of speakers that we can bring in nationwide. And, you know, back before we were with the Cardinals, we were able to afford to fly in maybe one speaker. Well, now we fly in about all of them, you know, and we pay them a decent little stipend to come in, and I'm sure they can make more at other speaking engagements, but we try to take care of them as best we can. But the Cardinals have really allowed us to grow and to just bring in the headline speakers that everybody knows about, and they've just really been able to do that. And I think this is our fifth or sixth year of partnering with them, and we hope we can partner with them many more years.
January 19th and 20th are the dates at Greenville. And Joe, just talk a little bit to us now. People that want to attend, do you got to pre-register? Can you just show up? Talk us through the process.
Yeah, you can pre-register or you can just show up. If we have a website, you can go to the website, which is www.i70clinic.com, i70clinic.com. And there's a tab on there where you can register. You can read about our speakers. You can see the schedule and everything like that. We're on Twitter at I-70 Clinic and Facebook, I-70 Clinic as well. So we post a lot of updates on there. And registration, if you show up at the door, you can register. But this is open to coaches. This is open to baseball fans. It's open to parents. It's open to you can bring your child as well if you'd like. But really, it's just a couple of really good days of baseball. It's a great value. We charge $50 to come, but we feed you really well Sunday night. We feed you a great lunch on Monday. We have a coach's social Sunday night at the country club, which is all free, paid for by a sponsor. It's by Dura Edge. And, coaches leave there thinking, man, I just got all that for $50. Pretty good. I invite your listeners to take a look and let us know if you're interested. Register, stop in. Come at the door, whatever you like to do.
Sounds great. Joe Allstott, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. I know you got a game to get ready for, so good luck, sir.
Hey, it's tournament weekend, Tim, with these fourth graders, so I'll throw the records out the window. It's time to get going.
That's right. Joe, thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tim.
Joe Allstott, the athletic director at Greenville High School, and of course, involved with the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic as well. So, yeah, i70clinic.com. You can go get all the details you need. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Hillsboro-Litchfield girls basketball this afternoon. Live coverage right around 2 o'clock on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. We've got Fighting Illini basketball for you this morning, the Bragging Rights game in St. Louis. And Illinois and Mizzou have both fallen on some hard times here because the game's at noon. 11 o'clock pregame on the Ox. And, of course, for a long, long time, this was a primetime ball game for many, many years. But as both programs have kind of struggled here over, you could probably say 10 years, maybe not quite that long, but it certainly seems that way. So noon tip today in St. Louis, 11 o'clock pregame on 105.3 the Ox. The Elks Hoop Shoot will be coming up in the spring, and in Carthenville, they will be having registration next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Call Quinn Steiner with any questions at 217-652-6659. There's an 8 to 9-year group, 10 to 11-year group, and a 12 to 13-year-old group. The shoot will be on April 1st. Registration next Saturday at the DeMuzio Sports Center in Carthenville. Again, call Quinn Steiner with any questions, 217-652-6659. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by new Carthenville boys basketball coach David Suits. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing all right today. And I guess as we approach Christmas here, your first season with Carthenville, just kind of talk us through the process, coach, because when you're on a job for the first year, there's a whole different set of challenges that comes with that.
Absolutely, yes. It's been fantastic. I have no negative things to say at all. But we've got a great group of kids, and they're working. And it's definitely one of those things where you're trying to do a lot of different things, and so kids are making a lot of adjustments. And so that consistency period, trying to get to that consistency level is difficult, but. The kids are buying in, they're working hard, and I'm hoping, at some point, that translates a little bit into the winning part of things, and I also understand the process, so sometimes that takes longer than what you hope, So
it's always that fine line, isn't it, Coach, where you know it's a process, but that doesn't make the now any easier. When you're taking some lumps, it's like, oh, man. But then you do have to remember, okay, we are working towards the future to build something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talked about that after, you know, Friday and Saturday last week. It's frustrating. You know, last Friday we held a good Greenville team to 14 first half points. And unfortunately, it's 14-13 at half, you know. And I told the kids, man, I'm not mad at all. That holding them to 14 is phenomenal. We've been working so hard on the defensive end, just trying to – just a lot of things that were different from the style that they played last year and getting into that pack and you know, trying to do things a little bit different to where it's challenging for the kids, but then we haven't been able to focus enough on the offensive end to really get into things. And so, you know, we didn't score, but, you know, I'm not mad about it. We just, it's a process to get there, and we've put our focus on more of the defensive end right now. And we're hoping here over the next few weeks to get more into the offensive side of things. And hopefully then it translates a little bit more on that side of the floor. So
David Seuss, the new Carlinville boys basketball coach, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And you mentioned a little bit about style. Talk to us about your philosophy. How do you like to play? What's your style?
Well, right now, it can change, and I'll never be one to say I don't like to run up and down the floor, but right now where we're at is we're a little bit thin. We had three kids with varsity jerseys last year back, and so we've put our focus more on the defensive end and trying to get stops and trying to grind within the half court. You know, we don't probably have 10 guys to be able to go up and down as fast as what sometimes we may. But that can change with the style, with the group that you have, you know. So right now that's where we're at. We'd rather probably play a half-court game and make you, you know, defend us and try to get some good looks at the basket and then really put the clamps on you defensively. And at times that's happened really well for us this year. And then at other times we've kind of gotten out of what we want to do, and it's not translated. But, you know, we held a good Auburn team to 34 through three quarters. I said last week with Greenville, they had 14 and a half. And, you know, those are some good ball clubs that when we're doing things the way we want to do it, it's translating. And then, you know, certain other times it's not, and that's that consistency factor that I think will come. And it's just one of those things right now. We're going to battle that consistency until we can be with this group more than a month, you know. So
the Carlinville boys basketball program, it's always strange from the standpoint, it's never an issue of athletes. You guys never get out athleted, if you will. But sometimes, for whatever the case may be, things just don't seem to line up for the Cavaliers. But when I look at you guys just kind of man for man, Michael Byatt is a load. Riley Roper is a load. Ethan Trim is a force on the inside. So you've got the pieces there. It's just a matter of kind of what you've been saying, just to get it all to mesh together at the same time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. It is. Our seniors, you know, have done an outstanding job. They've been great leaders. They have done a tremendous job for us. And we can't really ask for more. And like I said, just that consistency every night and them leading. But we got some pieces, and then we lost our point guard. The Noggle kid, unfortunately, is done at least probably, I don't know, we're hoping maybe postseason, but we don't know, with a broken hand. And then, last night at Payne, we're down three of our top seven. And so we're asking our young kids to come in and fill those other gaps. And so right now we need to just find some consistent pieces to go with those guys. But, you know, from a standpoint, you know, those frontline guys are giving us a lot, and you know, they're doing a lot of good things for us. So we can't ask for a lot more from them. So,
David Seuss, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we will see you next week at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your Christmas.
All right, you too. David Seuss, the new boys basketball coach at Carlinville High School. And we mentioned the Carlinville Holiday Tournament, the 26th, 27th, 28th, and then Monday the 30th will be championship night. We'll have the final two games all four nights at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. On the boys' side, Staunton gets the top seed. Calhoun, your defending champs, are the two seed. Carthenville's the 3, Gillespie's 4, Wood River's 5, and then Hillsborough 6, Litchfield 7, Bunker Hill 8th. And this is a wide open tournament. I mean, you could see any one of these teams making a run in this tournament. Staunton, the top seed, Calhoun, the 2 seed. On the girls' side, Gillespie is the top seed, Carthenville is the 2. They appear to be on a collision course for a championship matchup. Litchfield's the 3, Greenfield Northwestern seeded 4th, South County is 5th, Nokomis is 6th, Staunton 7th, and Bunker Hill is 8th. The Carthenville Holiday Tournament tips Thursday, December the 26th. The first game will be at noon. Of course, they utilize the high school gym and the middle school gym in one of the few tournaments around the state that runs a boys and girls tournament at the same time. So the folks at Carthenville do a fantastic job year in, year out, running that tournament. The Waverly Holiday Tournament, of course, will begin the day after Thanksgiving. And as is tradition, the top seed's prize is a 9 a.m. game the day after Christmas. For the life of me, I have never understood that. I have never grasped how you reward the top team in your tournament with a 9 a.m. game the day after Christmas.
They seed it weird, too, because it's not 1-16. It's 1 versus 8.
1 versus 9.
Or 1 versus 9.
Yeah. Yeah, that's odd. And that is what it is. Like, okay. But why is your number one team playing at 9 a.m. the day after Christmas? Never understood it.
They should flip the bracket upside down is what they should do. Seriously. Because then you would solve that problem. You'd have them playing at night, but...
I mean, someone's going to have to play... When you do this type of tournament, someone's going to have to play at 9 a.m. the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
But why is it your top-seeded team? I don't know. West Central's 1, Auburn's 2, Athens is the 3 seed there, New Berlin's 4, and North Mac is 5. Of course, they just played that OT thriller last night. Jacksonville routes the 6 seed, Buffalo Tri-City is seeded 7th, South County is 8th, Greenfield Northwestern is 9th, Triopia 10th, North Green 11th, Lincolnwood is seeded 12th, Carrollton the 13 seed, Pawnee is 14th, Springfield Lutheran is 15th, and Edinburgh is the 16 seed at the Waverly Holiday Tournament. Of course, that was always how Carthenville did it as well. There'd be a 9 a.m. game right after Christmas. And Darren Dania, this was one of his things. One of the first things he did when he took over at Carthenville was, well, we got 2 gyms. Let's use 2 gyms and we don't have to be here for a 9 a.m. game the day after Christmas. Sold. Sold.
Does Waverly have 2 gyms?
No.
Yeah. If someone was willing to build them a gym, maybe they'll utilize pushing it back.
Probably find a better use of the resources.
Yeah, probably.
I would suspect.
It's not higher on their list of things to do?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Shame.
Hillsborough at Litchfield coming up today. It's rivalry day. You got the Purple Panthers and the Toppers and Girls Hoops, 2 o'clock live on FM 106. And then the Bragging Rights game is today in St. Louis as well. That's a noon tip. Illinois and Missouri, the Illini are 8-3. Mizzou is 6-4. And this will be interesting. Of course, Illinois coming off of that nice win. Beat Old Dominion. We don't care about that. But the nice win over Michigan in the second Big Ten game.
I'm going to make a statement. I have not looked this up. But I would venture to say this is the best start they've gotten under Brad Underwood.
Well, that's saying nothing.
No, I know. But, hey, they've never started 1-1 in conference play before. And here they are, 1-1.
Mean under Brad Underwood.
Under Brad Underwood, yes.
Well, it's been...
They were 0-8 in his first year, and I think 0-6 last year.
It's been a long time since they were actually competitive in the Big Ten.
Well, they were competitive last year. I mean, they went 0-6, but then they ended up winning 7 games.
That's fine. But when you start 0-6 in the league, you're not that competitive.
But they turned a corner, and they beat some pretty good teams along the way.
They did do that.
Yeah.
They did do that. The Maryland game continues just to agitate me, because then you see Maryland's gotten knocked off twice. Since that day.
Have they?
Yeah. So, I mean, they were ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
And then Illinois let them off the hook.
Well, it makes you wonder what Michigan's going to be this year, too.
Well, you got to remember, Michigan, they were ranked 5th when Illinois beat them. They're not that good. They were unranked at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Went from unranked to ranked 4th in the country.
The rankings won't really mean anything until after the first of the year.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because it's just too early to tell. It's still too early to tell.
Too early to tell. 11 o'clock pregame today. Illinois and Mizzou from St. Louis. Bragging Rights game on 105.3. The Ox, Hillsborough, Litchfield girls this afternoon live at 2 o'clock here on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Thanks to Joe Allstott for joining us today on Sports Saturday. The I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic coming up January 19th and 20th in Greenville, i70clinic.com to find out more registration information. Thanks to David Suits for joining us as well this morning here on Sports Saturday, your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. For David, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done. Have a Merry Christmas.